Great. Sing it again.
Oh, yes, you are great.
Great.
Oh yes, you are great.
You are great.
Jesus, oh,
you are great.
Oh yes, you are great. Almighty God, you are great.
You are great.
Everything about you is great.
Sing it one more time. He's great.
To God, say after me, say Father, louder, say Father, I worship you for great things that you are doing in our lives, in our midst. Receive the glory in the name of Jesus. I worship you for making it possible for me to be in your house today to worship you. Receive the glory in the name of Jesus. Today, Father, let your word come to me. Let your power come upon me. Let your grace come upon my life. Thank you, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Father, we cannot worship you, praise you, and adore you enough. We have seen your goodness in the land of the living. We have seen your help. We have seen your mighty hand. Receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, thank you for the unused visit over the weekend that is going to be concluded today. Receive our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you because you have favored us already. Blessed be your name. Father, today let your word come. Amen. Bless all of us. Amen. Let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Open your Bible to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14, please. Exodus chapter 14. And we're talking of salvation. Somebody say salvation. Somebody say salvation. Somebody say salvation. Amen. 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 Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Can we read that scripture together? And you read it out loud. 1, 2, read. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Verse 14, read. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. God will fight for somebody today. Who is the person God will fight for? And you see, when God fights for you, you see the salvation of God. Today, you will see the salvation of God. Amen. Somebody please prophesy. I say to them, I shall see the salvation of God. I, in the course of this teaching has showed us that when we talk about salvation, there is a fundamental part, the foundation of it, the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins, you receiving eternal life, you receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. Somebody say salvation. It is better for somebody not to be born at all than for somebody not to be born again. Because if you are not born again, you will be born in hell forever, where the worms never die and the fire is never quenched. It is very, very, very fundamental that you experience the forgiveness of your sin and you receive the gift of eternal life through Christ. Because except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How many of us will see the kingdom of God? I will. By the mercy of God, you will. It's important. But I'll be emphasizing since the beginning of this teaching that salvation is not limited to the forgiveness of your sin. Even though the forgiveness of your sin is fundamental, the forgiveness of your sin is the foundation. But it goes way beyond the forgiveness of your sin. In the scripture that we read today, where Moses told them, already they had experienced what we can term as the forgiveness of their sins. They were out of Egypt already. They were out of Egypt. And their coming out of Egypt was secured by the blood of the lamb that they killed, and they applied the blood at the lintel of the house. It says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that was a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. The salvation of our soul is not secured by silver and gold. It's secured by the blood of Jesus Christ. What secured your salvation? Talk to me now. Talk to me now. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 is very clear. Being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, the word of God that lives and abide forever, that's 1 Peter 1:23. But in 1 Peter 1:18, he said, we're not redeemed. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from our vain conversation. Our vain conversation is our filthy lifestyle, a lifestyle of sin, lying, cheating, fornicating, adultery, all kind of evil and wickedness. He said, it is not gold, silver, or material thing that redeemed us from those things. What redeemed us, we're redeemed, verse 19, he said, but with the precious blood of Christ. It is the precious blood of Christ that redeemed us from sin. Please repeat that to me. Say, it is the precious blood of Christ that redeemed me from sin. What redeemed you from sin? If you don't have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are not saved at all. If you die in that situation, you will go to hell, you are born forever. It's only those who receive Christ as Lord and Savior, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that have received eternal life. And that's the most precious gift you can receive from God, eternal life. And it is secured by the blood of Jesus Christ. But back to my story. They were out of Egypt, because the lamb was already killed. The blood of the lamb was already applied by the doorposts of their houses. And it was through that sacrifice that God brought them out of Egypt. A picture of how God brings us out of sin and iniquity through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Please repeat after me. Say, I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What redeemed you? Talk to me. What redeemed you? Louder. Talk to me. What redeemed you? So those people were redeemed already. They were out of Egypt. They were out. But then, back in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, even though they were out of Egypt, they were not out of danger. They were face to face with the Red Sea that stood between them and their destiny fulfillment. Wait a minute. Are you with me? Now, NUC is visiting us, but that doesn't stop me from serving you your food. I'm accountable to God for the welfare of your soul. There must be no leanness in your soul. It must be well fed. Otherwise, God will query me. And may the Spirit of God feed you today. They were out of Egypt, but they were not out of danger. Pharaoh was behind pursuing them. The Red Sea was ahead of them, stopping them from getting to the promise of God. There are promises of God in the scripture that most believers are yet to tap into. Promise of abundance, promise of peace, promise of a happy married life, promise of wonderful children, promise of dominion on the earth, promise of wealth, promise of grace and glory and favor, promise of breakthrough on every side, promise of wells we never dug, houses we never built, promise of abundance in this world. You will enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. You will eat the good of this land. Amen. The reason why God saved us is not just for heaven. Someone said, not just for heaven. I didn't hear you. If it were just for heaven, God will have allowed and organized for us to die the day we got born again. Because the day you got born again, you are qualified to go to heaven. But before we go to heaven, he wants us to have dominion on the earth. We shall reign on the earth. By the grace of God, you will reign here. I didn't hear your amen. And whatever stops you from reigning, God will deal with it. That's salvation. The fundamental is you are born again. But whatever is stopping you from being a success in life, and God delivers you from it, that's salvation. Whatever stops us from having a PCU license, and God shows up and delivers us, he has given us salvation. As far as that instance is concerned. Somebody say, I hear. Let me hear you. You didn't hear. So, when he said, stand see and see the salvation of the Lord, fundamentally, they were already saved. They were out of Egypt, but they were not yet out of the wood. They were not yet free from Pharaoh chasing them behind. They had not yet crossed the Red Sea that was trying to stop them from reaching their goal. Unfortunately, many of them didn't make it because they didn't believe in the Lord. But I believe for you, you will make it. Yeah. If you will make it, let me hear your amen. Yeah. How many will make it? If you make it, come and shout hallelujah. That's why you need to believe the Lord your God. And he said, if you understand, see the salvation of the Lord which he will show you today. Today. Today that you face this danger, you will see the salvation of the Lord. He said, today that this Pharaoh was threatening you, you will see the salvation of the Lord. He wasn't talking about they are coming out of Egypt anymore. He wasn't talking about they are taking another lamb and killing. No, that one is already secured. But what follows that? Deliverance from danger. Deliverance from obstacle to progress and success. deliverance from barriers that the enemy put in the way, so you can enter into your inheritance, so you can build your house here, so you can marry, so you can have children, so you can fulfill your destiny and do what God sent you to this earth to do. He said, you will see the salvation of the Lord. And you see, what was the salvation of the Lord? He was telling them they will see. He said, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. When the Egyptians are gone, the danger is gone, you have seen the salvation of the Lord. When the Red Sea gives way, and the danger is gone, and you can move into your inheritance, you have seen the salvation of the Lord. In whatever way you need the salvation of the Lord, you will see it today. I can't hear your amen. Amen. If you're sick in your body, when the hand of God touches you and remove that sickness, you have seen the salvation of the Lord as far as that sickness is concerned. Because that sickness can kill you before your time. That sickness can make you very uncomfortable. You can't even serve the Lord. But when God steps in and delivers you from that pain, you have seen the salvation of the Lord. And we're not talking about the fundamental. The fundamental is already secured. The blood of the Lamb was already slain. They already believed. And they were out of Egypt. But they were not yet out of danger. That's the situation with us believers. We have given our lives to Christ. But day by day, by day, by day, we're experiencing the salvation of God, deliverance from this evil, deliverance from this danger, until we enter into glory. The Bible makes it very, very clear. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, verse 22, that it is through much tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God. Acts 14, 22. So the call to the Christian life is not a call to an armchair. No, 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 no. We are saved, yes, but we are to experience deliverance daily. Acts 14, 22, confirming the souls of disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We must. And tribulations are not to scare us. They are to strengthen us. Because we are more than conquerors. Someone say, we are more than conquerors. God is not raising chickens. God is raising champions. How many champions do we have here, please? He's not raising chickens. He's not raising people. He said, oh, this thing is too much. This pressure is too much. This is not, and they are backing out. No, no, no. He's raising champions and saying, yes, if God be for us, we can do it. The giants are no match for us. They are bread for us. They will fall before us. People that will face Goliath and said, today, I'm going to cut off your head. I'm going to bring down your head. Champions. That's what God is raising. People that meet with challenges every day and they deal with the challenges in the strength of the Lord and they move from glory to glory. How many of them are in the house here? If you're in the house, if you're one of them, come on, shout hallelujah. My friend, challenges are the food of champions. What's the food of champions? Talk to me now. Talk to me now. The champions of God are not intimidated by any Goliath, any Red Sea, any Egyptians, because they know our Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He is more than able to deliver us. Our Redeemer is to, somebody please declare, say, my Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. You are not talking. Say, my Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. Job declared, he said, I know my Redeemer lives. That's the language of the champions. They know if he is able to deliver me from sin, he can deliver me from sickness. He delivered me from hell, they can deliver me from danger. He delivered me from destruction, he can deliver me from demons. My Redeemer lives. That's the language of champions. My Redeemer is strong. The Lord, God of hosts, is his name. They don't recoil from challenges. They know that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. It's a must. Jesus Christ said, in this world, you will have tribulation. He said, in me, you will have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Please, somebody say, my Redeemer is strong. You're not talking like you are sure. Say, my Redeemer is strong. That's in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 50, verse 34. Hey, yeah, my Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. You see, that you need to know your God. It is the knowledge of God that will give you confidence in the day of battle. I met with some of my men this morning and reviewing some things. I said, we've got to do this one. And one of my men said, that's not possible. I said, look at me very well. Not possible. I said, no. If I've operated with that philosophy, I won't be where I am today. It's possible, and it must be done before 12:30. He said, that's why I lead an army. If I need to move everybody in the mother church, it's possible. If I need to move everybody in the battle, it's possible. That's what God blessed us with people for. With God, all things are possible. That's the language of God's champions. They don't defeat themselves with their mouth. They don't speak the fear that other people speak. Saul had lost touch with God and he saw Goliath and was afraid. But when David got there, he said, this one, I'm going to deal with him. I'm going to deal with him. Saul had all the soldiers and all the weapon and all the armor and he was afraid. David had nothing but God. He said, my Redeemer is strong. The Lord who was with me, who helped me to defeat the bear? He helped me to defeat the lion. And this Goliath is one of them. I'll defeat you. I'll bring your head down today. And God said, that's my champion. And then he didn't have anything. Hello, somebody here. Hello? He didn't have anything. No spear, no bow, no arrow, no javelin, no sword, no nothing. But God came through for him. Today, God will come through for you. I didn't hear your amen. I didn't hear your amen. That's God's champion because they know their Redeemer is strong. I quoted a scripture. That scripture is very important to you. And that's Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 34. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is, oh my goodness, he shall thoroughly plead their cause. He will do that battle. You will be sorry for the enemy. Somebody please declare, say, my Redeemer is strong. Louder, say, my Redeemer is strong. According to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, Daniel 11, verse 32, it is the people that do know their God that shall be strong and do exploits. It was that knowledge of God that made Moses to make that declaration. He said, stand still. See the salvation of God that I will show you today. Our Redeemer is stronger than the Red Sea. He will part the Red Sea. Our Redeemer is stronger than Pharaoh that is pursuing us and his host. You won't see them again because our Redeemer is strong. Somebody say, my Redeemer is strong. You are not even talking like you are sure. Say, my Redeemer is strong. What is his name? What's his name? You don't know what that means. What's his name? That's the one who commands all the armies of heaven. He commands all the armies on the earth. He does what pleases him in the heavens.
When he stretches forth his hand, no man can turn it backward. Where people don't allow him to rule, he overrules. He shows that he is God. The Lord of hosts is his name. Please make a boast before heaven. Say, my Redeemer, is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. Louder, say, my Redeemer, is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. Look at your neighbor, tell him, say, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. My Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. Did he hear you? Turn to another person, say, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. My Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. Go and ask Haman. Even while he's still burning in hell, he will tell you the story. He say, if that Mordecai be of the seed of the Jew before whom you have started to fall, you will not be able to prevail against him. You will surely fall. So don't mess with me. A lot of believers don't know who they are. They don't know what they have. They don't know what they can do. So they push themselves down, even with the word of their mouth. I can't do it. You can't do what? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The moment you tell me there's something I cannot do, you are giving me the license to do it. And I'm going to go ahead right before your eyes and prove you wrong. Because my Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts. That's why you must have a secure relationship with God. Because whatever is going to flow from salvation thereafter is based on your relationship with God. All the scriptures that talk about salvation, go and read it again. They talk about the fundamental, the foundation of your relationship with God. If I can play it back from Revelation and down, but let me select. 3 John verse 2, he said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Somebody please declare, I shall prosper and be in health. That's part of salvation. He now says, as thy soul prospers. So if your soul is not prospering, forget about physical prosperity. Forget about being in health. You must have a secure relationship with God. Your soul must be alive. You must be free from sin. You must have a secure relationship with God. It is as your soul prospers that you will prosper and be in health. So the person who is going to prosper and be in health takes time to nourish his soul. Takes time to make sure that there is no sin between him or her and God. Takes time to make sure that his fellowship with God is robust, so he can call upon God to defend him anytime. Because that's the fundamental, the foundation for every other aspect of salvation. And you cannot build something on nothing. You must build on a foundation. The foundation for salvation is a secure relationship with God, that your sins are forgiven you. You receive eternal life. You are a child of God. You are born again. And you're walking in fellowship with God. Somebody say, I hear. You didn't hear. You didn't hear. You didn't hear. If you heard, you will say it louder. That thou mayest prosper, salvation. Be in health, salvation. As thy soul prospers, the foundation for salvation. When Peter was speaking to them in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 3, if you read from verse 19, look at how he was preaching salvation and was talking about complete salvation. Complete. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Somebody say foundation. That's the foundation. You repent. You are converted. You give your life to Christ. You are in a secure relationship with Christ. You don't just go into church. You don't just bear any a Christian name, so-called. No, no. You have a personal relationship with God. You have repented. You are converted. Your sins are blotted out. And what blots out our sin? What blots it out? I've taught you today. What blots out our sin? Talk to me. What blots out our sin? So you have experienced that cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. Foundation is laid. He now say when that has happened, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Somebody say complete salvation. You didn't say it. Because a lot of believers neglect that. Time of refreshing. The power of the Holy Spirit. Refreshing. Abundance, prosperity, refreshing. There is no refreshing when you are broke. When you are in debt. When you are hiding from your landlord. When you can't pay your children's school fees. You can't change the tires of your car. There's no refreshing, my friend. And that refreshing is part of salvation. That there is a project you want to execute and you look into your bank account and there is money there. You're giving thanks to God. Refreshing. You can clothe your children nicely. You can send them to good school. You can change your car. Refreshing. You are relaxed. You are not tensed. You are not pressured. It's so refreshing when you are sick and they are hanging on your leg like this and they bandage your head and you are in pain. You are even ready to give all the money you have so you can enjoy good health for one day. That's all refreshing. And the Bible says when you repent and you are in good relationship with God, the times of refreshing, not just time, times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord when he will bless you in all your ways. I command season of refreshing upon your life. Amen. I can't hear your amen. Amen. And hear this, Christ Light Church. I was telling the scripture a few days ago and I got to that place where Elijah sent to Ahab. He said, run. That's 1 Kings chapter 18. He said, I can hear the sound of abundance of rain. It was in the night. I can hear the sound of abundance. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me that I should prophesy, cry to Christ like church. I can hear the sound of abundance of rain. The heaven will open upon you. Yeah. You will experience refreshing, yeah, in breakthrough, yeah, in promotion, yeah, in lifting, yeah, in healing, yeah, in miracles, yeah, in testimonies. Marriages, children being born, appointment, international appointment, federal appointment, state appointment, local government appointment, appointment at every level. I can hear the sound of abundance of rain. If you are partaking of it, come and shout hallelujah. The times of refreshing. After you have repented, and you enter into a season of refreshing, and God begins to bless your life. John 10:10, when Jesus was speaking, he said, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the work of the devil. I'm not going to interpret that today. I'll leave that to another day. John 10:10. But he said, I'm come that they might have life. Someone say life. Talk to me. Talk to me. Louder. Louder. That's the foundation, eternal life. You're free from sin. You're sure of heaven. You have a secure relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Life. And that they may have it more abundantly. Abundant life. Good. You are bubbling in good health. Abundant life. The devil tries to make you sick. You kick the thing out. You cast the beast into the fire. Shake the beast into the fire. Abundant life. Finance. Prosperity. Your business booming. Abundant life. children, married, abundant life. That they might have it more abundantly. He doesn't want us to stop at having life. A lot of believers stop at that. But that they might have it more abundantly. The things that follow salvation. There are things that follow salvation. There are things that follow salvation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. Is somebody getting me here today? You are not getting it. You are not getting it. Because it is your understanding that rules your life. If you are limited to just the foundation, you will experience the foundation and the devil will rob you of the rest. You will get out of Egypt and you still be stuck between the Red Sea and Pharaoh. And you live in fear all the days of your life. Like many of them that died in the wilderness. But when you understand that there are things that follow salvation after you give your life to Christ, your understanding rules your life, you now connect with the fact that I have abundant life in Christ Jesus. Look at what he said. Matthew 6, 33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Someone say foundation. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. What comes first? Huh? Talk to me. And his righteousness. Am I right? Your relationship with God. You are repented of your sins. You are living upright. You are walking in holiness. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are truly a child of God. You are not pretending. You are not joking. It's not just in the word of mouth. In your heart. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. In your secret, you know you are a child of God. In the open, you know you are a child of God. You are not doing secret sin, secret iniquity. You are really in fellowship with God. You are a child of God. You are the foundation. Look at that. Seek first. That is first. And his righteousness. And he now said, and all these things shall be added. There is no way in the scripture where it says salvation ends with repentance. You are born again. You are going to heaven. Nowhere. Salvation is that complete word that describes everything that Jesus secured for us when he died on the cross. Forgiveness of sin is fundamental. Healing, deliverance, prosperity, victory, abundance, joy, a good home, wonderful children, good life, dominion in this world. We're reigning on earth. Life is good and we're celebrating God. Salvation, soteria, that's a Greek word. Nothing missing. Nothing broken, nothing absent, nothing lacking. Everything is complete. Psalm 138 verse 8, the Lord shall perfect that which concerns me. Everything is perfected. I enjoy all round goodness of the Lord. The robust salvation in every aspect. Based on a secure relationship with God. That my sins are forgiven and washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Heaven is secure. I have a relationship with God. I'm walking with God. He's my Redeemer. He's in me. He's with me. He's by me. And he's ready to fight for me. He's an enemy to my enemy and an adversary to my adversary. He's ready to supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's my glory and the lifter up of my head. I have a secure relationship with him. I'm saved. And then the things that follow salvation. All these things. All these things that the Gentiles are looking after, they're looking for. They're looking for house. I'm not looking for house. I look for God, and house looks for me. They're looking for money. I'm not looking for money. I chase God, and money chases me. Right? All these things that the Gentiles look for, that they seek for, shall be added to you. You just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's salvation. That's salvation. Let's not stop it at forgiveness of sin. If anybody is misbehaving, ask him, are you saved? Huh? If he's complaining there is no money, ask him, are you saved? If he's complaining of fear and the enemy chasing him, ask him, are you saved? What about your Redeemer? Is your Redeemer absent or is he dead? Is your God dead? Ask your neighbor, is your God dead?
Oh boy. Praise the Lord.
Are you having fun this morning? When Elijah called the prophet of Baal to a fight. You see, it's good we read the Bible very well. A lot of us used to think there are only 440 prophets of Baal. No. There are 440 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Ashtoreth, making 950 prophets, false prophets, against one true prophet. But if God be for us, who can be against? It's been said, one with God is in the majority. 950 other people. I say, if God be God, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. So, when they were offering their sacrifice, the man was making a jest of them. Your God is God now. Call on him now. Maybe he's in the restroom. Or maybe he's busy with a guest. Or maybe he's chasing some enemy somewhere. Or maybe he's giving attention to somebody else. He was mocking them. These guys shouted and yelled and they lacerated themselves and nothing happened. Elijah was mocking them because their God was no God at all. They didn't have any redeemer. The work of men's hand. When it was time of Elijah, less than 1 minute, say, hear me, O God, that they may know that you are the only true and living God, and that I'm your servant, and that I've done this at your command. In 1 minute, fire fell because their redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is there. Every prayer you pray today, you will receive answer.
Amen.
Fire will fall.
Amen.
How do I know? Because I know my redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. Please tell your neighbors, tell him, say, my redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. Praise the Lord. So, go for complete salvation. In the course of the week, Wednesday evening, because there's a dimension of it I won't tell you now, and we're going to something else next Sunday. I want to show you that when you talk of salvation, God moves and he uses people. Whether the temporary salvation or the eternal salvation, he uses people. If people don't preach the gospel, others won't be saved. Let me ask you, how many of you are saved? You are truly saved. You are born again. Raise your hand. Raise your high. If you are born again, shout hallelujah. If people didn't preach, you won't be saved. Two of us. Either track, television, radio, whatever. Somebody preached and you got saved. That's how God works. The Spirit and the bride working together. God alone does not effect salvation. He is the author of salvation. But he uses people to execute it. If all the people will be saved and their sins will be forgiven, you've got to work in partnership with God to bring it to pass. If you don't do it, they won't be saved. The same, even temporary salvation. Oh, I can take you through scripture. It took one slave girl to bring healing to Naaman. It was one slave girl that said, if my master will go to the prophet in Samaria, in Israel. And that's it. It took one sick Egyptian man for David to recover everything he lost in 1 Samuel chapter 13. God uses people. God uses people. God uses, may God use you.
Yeah.
When I was talking at the workers' meeting, the army of Gideon, God needed to defeat the enemy of Israel and to put the enemy to shame. And he needed an army. God still needs an army today. When Gideon blew the trumpet, because Gideon was the man God chose for the assignment. He blew the trumpet. That 2,000 people showed up. You'll find the story in 1 Kings chapter 7. And God said, these people are too many. Otherwise, they will boast that they are the one who did it. And I'm not going to share my glory with any man. I will use people. I will use people that are humble enough to give me the glory. The people that will boast that they are the one that do it, they are useless. I don't need them. Turn to your neighbor. Does God need you? Ask him. Ask him. Will God use you? He won't use the proud. Forget it. He won't use anybody that will take the glory. Forget it. He won't use anybody that thinks he's doing God favor. No. It's our greatest privilege to serve God. God said, tell them, if anybody is afraid, let him go home. If anybody is distracted, you have just married a wife, I won't let you focus, go home. You have just planted a vineyard, and you won't focus. Because if you are going to serve me, you must focus. You must give me everything. Tell them to go home. Go home. Out of 32,000, 22,000 went home. They were the ones that were afraid and scared. 10,000 remaining. If I were Gideon, my feet would be knocking like this. But when you say, it's in the multitude of men that the king is on. I'm sure Gideon will be expecting that God will say, yes, I have the people that will go to battle now. And God came and said, no, these people are still too many for me. But the people that I'm going to use, I will test them myself. Take them to the water. I will test them. May you pass God's test. Amen. Very, very seriously. May you pass God's test. When God wants to use you, he will test your character. Your steadfastness. Your faithfulness. Your attitude to little things. Because if you are not faithful in small things, you are not good in large things. He will test you. On a matter of self-discipline. All workers resume at 6 or 7. You are strolling in at 7:15 as though it doesn't matter. You're already disqualifying yourself. It will test your heart whether you fear God or not. Whether you fear his word or not. It will test your attitude to obedience. It will test faithfulness. You faithful in tithing? If you say, let's pray at so-so time, are you faithful in praying? On Wednesday, let's fast. Are you faithful? Or do you need somebody to supervise you before you do it? He will check it all out. At the end of the day, 300 passed God's test. And God said, enough. These are the people I will use. 300 upon 32,000. What percentage is that? Less than 1%. God will not use a stone to replace you. I didn't hear your amen. Whatever you are choosing to do, do it well as unto God. God uses people to effect his salvation. If people are going to be saved, he uses people. If you are going to be healed, he uses people. If you are going to be delivered, he uses people. If peace is going to be a reality, he uses people. Whatever he wants to do, God has chosen to limit himself to men. It's his choice. But when he chooses you and uses you, he rewards you beyond what any man can do. Let's give thanks to God. You're going to pray two prayers. Two prayers. Lord, give me full understanding to enjoy your full salvation. Give me understanding by the Holy Spirit of your salvation, that I may enjoy the full benefits of your salvation. Lord, give me understanding of your salvation. by the Holy Spirit. There are so many aspects of God's salvation that we don't understand yet. Lord, give me understanding of your salvation. Lord, give me understanding. Give me a revelation of your salvation in every detail of it, that I may enjoy the full benefits of your salvation. Give me an understanding of what Jesus Christ purchased for me on the cross with his blood, that I may enjoy the benefits of your full salvation. I hope you are praying that prayer. Open the eyes of my understanding, that I may understand the mystery of your salvation. Open the eyes of my understanding, that I may enjoy the full benefits of your salvation. What you don't understand, you cannot appropriate. What you don't understand, you cannot claim. Give me a full understanding. That's why God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God does not want us to be ignorant of the provision of his salvation. I hope you are praying that prayer seriously. Give me a clear understanding of your salvation, that I may enjoy the full benefits thereof. Give me a clear understanding of your salvation, that I may enjoy the full benefit. Then pray, Lord, use me as an agent of your salvation. Use me to bring your salvation to other people, both the spiritual dimension of their sins being forgiven, receiving eternal life, use me. Or them being delivered from danger, being helped into destiny fulfillment. Lord, use me to be an agent of your salvation, that many, many people will rejoice in you because you have used me to help them. Many, many people will rejoice in you because you have used me to save them. That many, many people will rejoice in you because you have used me to bless them. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. I make myself available. You're not praying. Pray. I make myself available. Anoint me. Let your hand rest upon me. Make me an agent of your salvation, an instrument of your salvation. Use me to spread your salvation all over the world, that many people will rejoice in your salvation. They will rejoice in your goodness because you have used me to touch them, to bless them, to help them. Here am I, Lord, use me. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. Here am I, Lord, use me. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. Here am I, Lord, use me. Begin to bring your prayers to a close. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you're sick in your body, I rebuke that sickness in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've been anointed by the Holy Spirit to speak, and the word of my mouth is honored by heaven because he sent me. And he said, whatsoever I bind on earth shall bind in heaven. Whatsoever I lose on earth is losing in heaven. Whatsoever I permit on earth is permitted. Whatever I prohibit is prohibited. Every sickness, wherever you are hanging now in the body of these people, by the authority that God has given me, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I uproot you and I cast you out. Disappear. and never return. It doesn't matter what your name. It may be cancer, you may be tumor, it may be fibroid, maybe migraine, you may be leukemia, you may be anything. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He has anointed me to proclaim authority and dominion in that name, and you must bow to me. For the stranger shall hear my voice, and he must bow. And you are a stranger in that body, for God did not put you there. And the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Every tree that brings no forth fruit is cut down. All the plantings of the devil in the body of anybody here, I uproot you in the name of Jesus. If God has not planted it there, now disappear. Disappear. Get out. The owner of the body had come to take possession. For this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you stranger, you must vanish. Strangers, get out. Strangers, get out. Lord, across the length and breadth of this house, let there be instant healing. Remarkable healing by your authority. Let everyone have testimony. And the sicknesses that are out now, let them never return again. You are healed. Thank you, Father. My Father, I pray, oh God, anybody here that needs to be saved, let your grace locate them. And every one of us here, use us, oh God, as agents of your salvation. That we will take our responsibility seriously. You have sent us to bring your salvation to the world. Help us to be faithful. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.